I want to thank two of my closest friends for that song. I've come to the conclusion, and I hope I can do this, and I've come to the conclusion the theme of what they sang was Jesus. And I want to do that. I want to surround whatever I say around the utmost thought of the Lord Jesus Christ. You may not be able to see it in this first little slide right here, but what I'm going to talk about, I want to talk about gathering. Now that gathering, you can take it any way you want, and I hope you do. And there may be the great gathering, there may be a little gathering, there may be a somewhat medium gathering right here, but I'm talking about gathering. And I'm talking about the family of God gathering around the Lord Jesus. And right here, you have this little scripture. I believe it's prophetic. It hasn't happened yet. I think we're on the throes of it. We're just about to enter into this, where that time speedily is coming. It's just ahead of us. It's coming. There's going to be this great division. Now, I don't know if you're looking or seeing, but I see it. I see people making their decisions day by day. They're making these decisions, and most of those decisions that I see in the world right here are not good decisions. You look at your child and you would say, that is not a good decision. I wouldn't do that if I was you. That is a poor decision that you're about to make. But there are people who are making good decisions. And those decisions in God are going to hold them, are going to keep them, are going to draw them near where the Lord is. And in that division there, when you have a division, you've got a separation. And you got the wicked on one side, the world on that side, all that you can think of in terms of worldliness. I'm dying to tell you what that is. I may not do that though. But all of the world and its wickedness and all of its hypocrisy and its philosophies and its allurements right here are where the world is. And they're going to be divided. There's going to be a separation. Jesus says, when I come, he says, I'm going to separate father and mother, son and father, and son and daughter against mother. And there's going to be this division based upon where you're at in your life. Based upon the decisions that you've made, either for the Lord or you're making that incremental step away from him. One step at a time. So there's going to be this great division. And the Lord himself, he's going to spare his people, and it says here further, even if he has to spare them by fire. Now I take good confidence in that, and I'm not going to tell you, you know, that everybody's going to be delivered. I know there's going to be some collateral damage. I know there's going to be some martyrs. I know that. But I believe that the admonition to the children of God and the great family of God under the Lord Jesus Christ and his headship right here, that in this great division, when the wicked hate the righteous, that there's going to be a place of safety and he's going to deliver the righteous. But before I get to that, I want to get real with you. I want to talk about, and I'm not necessarily wanting to scare you, but you need to do what Curtis Yates's granddaddy did to him. He told me, Brother Curtis told me that he went on a mission trip with his granddaddy James, and said just like a young kid, he'd get distracted here and there and so forth, and said James's big old fat finger would come in there and hit him in the forehead. Isn't that what you told me? He says, pay attention. We're living in a world, we're living at a time where it's easy to be distracted. We are distracted to the max. We are, and the devil knows that. The devil of all unrighteousness right here is doing everything in his power, and he's got every scheme in the book that you can think of whereby he is going to get us slightly distracted. And it doesn't take much of a distracted to get off the road, to get off the path. But I'm going to talk a little bit about current events. And what you're looking at right there is money. We're talking about a lot of money. We're talking about trillions of dollars, and we don't know what that is. Somebody added up $1 trillion, and they said $1 trillion would go from planet Earth, $1 bill on the other dollar bill, past Uranus. We're talking about millions of miles. Well, here's an example of something we can look at. That's the Statue of Liberty right there. There's a big old sky crane beside it. Down there, them wee little old things right there, those are trucks, semi-trucks loaded with money. That's our national debt. We have, just did it this year, we have exceeded, our national debt exceeds the total gross amount of money that we can make. Bigger than all the money ever a working person, ever 40-hour, 60-hour job, everyone on the job, on time, on duty, working right here. You can't make enough to equal that kind of money there in debt. And you know that. Any person who is awake, paying attention, knows that. Any house that you can't meet your debts right here is going to come down. It was coming down. We are going down. Now with that, if you're a student of the Bible, right, and if you've ever read about in the 37th, 38th chapter of Ezekiel, you might say what? Does anybody want to offer? The great conflict with Israel and Gog and Magog. Gog and Magog, in my opinion, and what I've studied, that is a Greek word that is interpreted Rusk, which is Russia. So we're looking at it now. We're looking at the house of cards coming down, and we're looking at this flexing of the muscles of that great bear ready to do things. And they're defying America to stop them. And they're shooting down planes. And what's the result of some of that action right here? Well, it comes right down to Israel. And then America has stopped all flights into Israel. Do you think that's going to impact your prophetic understanding? What about that big dragon been sleeping for 1,000 years, China? It's awakening. The dragon is awakening. Oh, I'm talking about prophecy out of your Bible. I'm talking about that those things are going to come to pass in this day, the day that we're living in, the day that you see the tremors in America, when you're seeing the towers begin to crumble and to fall, when you see that there's chaos everywhere, and the kids themselves, like in Colorado, just talked to Brother Marvin about it, just passed, marijuana is approved by the government. And you can get your joint of marijuana. In fact, as I was in McDonald's, and they had a caption of that. And they had this guy that was interviewing this gal, and he says, well, they tell me that my understanding of marijuana is if you take that, that it affects your brain. What do you think about that? And he put that microphone in that girl's lap, and she was laying down on the ground. She says, what you say? Bible talks about, it says that the sea is going to be dried up, the tongue of the Egyptian sea, to make way for the kings of the east. Here they come. The only one that I know of in the Bible right here that can mount a hundred million man army. And that's China. What about Israel? Here's Israel. Bible says, and I like to ask people all this time, what is your number one lookout point for the end of time? What are you looking for when Jesus is about to come? What single thing out of the scripture is there when you begin to know to look towards the east? Keep your eye on the east. What is it you look for? When you see the nations of the earth surround Israel, know that devastation is nigh. And the coming of the Lord is coming. But you know what? Israel has got a special little thing. They call it the Iron Dome. Have you ever heard that? The Hamas there in Gaza right here has shot over 1,500 missiles at Israel. And that I know of, only a house has been hit. There's only a few people been hurt and killed by the 1,500 missiles that fly in indiscriminately into Israel. You know why? Because they got the Iron Dome. The Iron Dome is their missile system. Now, I'm hoping you're reading between the lines of how I'm talking here. They've got this missile system ready. And they call it the Iron Dome, and here comes the missiles, and the missiles can't get in there and do damage because of the Iron Dome. Well, we got an Iron Dome. We got the Lord. We need to remember that and have that in our hearts. We're covered. He's going to protect his children. If he has to save them by fire, he's going to look after them. So I want you to keep that in mind here as I'm talking. And here's the Lord. Just like this, he says. He says, how oft have I gathered you as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings and have nourished you? Well, you have read your Book of Mormon. God put his crosshairs on Jerusalem, 600 B.C. He put his crosshairs on Jerusalem, and he says, Jerusalem is gone. I've taken out this city. There's not going to be one stone left upon another. I'm rubbing it out. But there was a family. There was a family there. What kind of family do you think that was? You think, somebody said it. It was a righteous family. We're talking about somebody who made it their business. That when the hen's got her wings out there, they're underneath the wings. They're close to mama. They're by her. They're not getting far from her. Hide me, Jesus. Hide me the provision of your care. And Lehi escaped. He escaped with his family. And all the way, you read that story, all the way, one miracle after another, one thing after another, showing the care and the kindness and the providence and the grace of the Lord. He says, I'm taking you to the promised land. You're going to get to the, I don't see nobody, I've got a book of legends, and the Indians are talking in the book of legends right here, and it says, it has never been told that one has ever crossed such a sea as this. Oh, our younger brother, you will take us across. Four brothers in that legend there. And our Lord's going to do that, and he's going to nourish you. And so Nephi, he came here and he established what he had. And it wasn't many centuries after that that the pilgrims, here they were fighting the good faith. At least all they knew. Over there in wherever they were, in Germany and the Netherlands. And they fought that good faith, and finally it came to the point where, well, we got to leave. We want to leave based on what? To make more money. To dig more gold. To take advantage and build big corporations. We want to be able to worship the Lord our God. We want to fall on our face before him when we arrive to the new land. And they call it the New Jerusalem, New Zion. And they made it here. And they came. And they were established. And the roots were put down. And God gathered in those early days. He gathered his children. He gathered them together. He put them under his wings. And he carried them. What about the Church of Christ? We do this. Bruce and I do this, and several of us others right here do this. And we meet a whole lot of folks downstairs here. What about the Church of Christ? When did you, I was out back holding my grandson, Denver. I was holding him, and I went outside, and boy, there was about 60, 100 kids out there, and there was a leader out there, and he was giving them a big talk. And I thought, well, I'm just gonna go out there and listen to see what he says. And I went out there, and I'm listening to him right here. He says, now, boys and girls, and they're all teenagers, he says, right here, he says, what you're going to see is you're going to see three divisions of the restoration. You're going to see the Mormon church. You're going to see the organized church, community of Christ. And then you're going to see the Temple Lot Church of Christ right here. Well, it was the Temple Lot Church of Christ and the organized church, they split off. I said, hold it just a minute. There wasn't no splitting off. They didn't split off. They didn't go anywhere. They weren't rebaptized. They weren't reordained. They didn't move. They didn't change their name right here. They've held on to the 1830 church. We're not the 1838 church. We're not the 1834 church. We are the Church of Christ. We're here. We've been here. We got shoved out back there in 1833. We got shoved out in that area right here, out of Missouri, and we banked ourselves there in Illinois. But we couldn't wait to get back. And so how did we get back? We got back because a man by the name of Granville Hedrick, he had a visit by the Lord. We're talking about nourishment. We're talking about protection here. He had a visit by the Lord, and it told him right here, he says in 1864, he says in 1867, the time to move back to Independence is then. And so he got his 60-some people together, and in 1867 right here, they moved back. When they moved back, they got up here to the Missouri River. They got here to the Missouri River, and there's the Missouri River. It was in April of the year, and the Missouri River is beginning to thaw out. And Frisbee sit there in his big old covered wagon, big old wheels there. That's skinny wheel, but big tall. Grandma had everything she's got in that wagon. Thousands of pounds probably in that wagon. They moved their house on that wagon. They come here to be stopped by the Missouri River. You can't stop the Lord. When the Lord's spoken right here, he spoke. And Frisbee believed that. And he sat sitting there in that seat there, and he's looking across the expanse of the Missouri River there, and it's thawing. And the water's beginning to melt right here. Now he's thinking, I believe God spoke. I believe he told us to come back to Independence. And I'm going, yeah! And boy, he drug his wagon across that ice, cutting big old ruts into that ice. And he got on the other side there and looked back, and here they come. And there they've been. Was that not the provision under the gathering hand of God? That's what it was. And God can do that. He wants to do that. I'm absolutely convinced that he wants to do that. But there's another scripture that goes along with this, 3 Nephi 4:55. I have taken care of you and I've nourished you. I was just up at the camp Sunday. And up there at the camp, they had a campfire Sunday night. And in that campfire, there was four or five what I call young people now. They're grown adults, but they came up there and they told about their life. And they said, we made mistakes. We've made some mistakes. We got off the trail. We got off the path just a little bit. But our God of mercy, our God who restores, who loves to the uttermost, Scripture says, saves to the uttermost, he called us back, and we're here. He's nourishing them, not going to let them out there. His concern is for, he's concerned about the 99, and he's got the 99 gathered. He's got them here, right here, but his eye is looking over the wall, and he's looking over there. He says, I'm going to establish you and I'm going to set you, but I'm going to get him. He's lost. I can't find him at the moment, but I will find him. And the Bible says I'm going to look for him until I find him. Boy, that's good news to me. I tell you what, I've had a need in my own life to be found. I'm thankful for God who has that kind of care, knows how to forgive, and knows how to restore. And gathered me with his wings right here. I still got her. I got the baby. I had a chicken. I've got several chickens. And with those chickens right there, I come in there one day and I'm feeding the chickens. And as I walk in there and I'm looking at the chickens over right here, I see a little baby. Chick, beep, 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 all that. So what in the world? And where did that come from? And when did it happen? And boy, I'm looking at that and I'm thinking that those big bad mama chickens right here, if we don't look out, the real mama's going to turn her head there and they're going to peck that little baby and going to hurt that little baby. So I've got to save that little baby chick. And so I got the plan. Now I got a big old fish net right here, and the plan is that I'm going to get that net and throw it over mama right here. Well, which one's mama? And boy, I had a heck of a time and I'm not sure if I even got the right mama. But I netted the mama right here. But as I'm netting the mama right here, I look around for baby right here. She's gone. And I'm looking around there. Well, there's little gaps in my fence right here. And I could see she walks back and forth right through there. I said, oh, boy, oh, boy. So I got mama. No, I didn't get mama. I was concerned about a little baby right here. And I saw her go through the fence there and she's gone out in the woods. I live in the woods. So I commenced a big search all through the woods there, calling baby chicken. And she can't be found. Well, she's going to be supper time for some varmint out there. They're gonna eat her up right here. I'll never see her. Boy, it was such a beautiful little thing. I don't know where she came from, but there she was. I wish I had her, but she's gone. So I went in there and said, well, I'll get mama anyway. So I got mama right here, and I bagged her up, and I've got a little pullet cage over here, enough for mamas and babies. And I put her in there, and I went back out to look for the little baby. I can't find her. I come back and I'm looking back at mama right here, and there's the baby with her. The only thing I can figure out is that when I threw that net over her right here, mama grabbed that little baby right here, tucked her under her wings right here. I got 2 for 1 on that one. And that's what Jesus does. He wants to gather us. The devil wants to dissimulate you. The devil wants to separate you. I'm hoping for this day to come. No big indictment, but just think about it. I'm hoping for the day comes where people are sitting tight together. I thought of, and I'm not strong enough. I wanted to right here. I thought about, we got 3 rows right here. I wanted to pick this thing up right here and come on down there. The Lord wants us knit, close, tight, loving, blessing one another, all under his wings. But there's another scripture here beyond this one that I've got. So how oft would I have gathered you as a hen gathereth her chickens, and you would not? What is that scripture there in Jeremiah? About the 10th chapter maybe. And it says, seek ye the old paths, wherein is the good way, and find rest to your soul. Well, that's the Lord talking. He says, seek that path, that good path, where is the good way, and find rest. And what was the rest of the scripture? Anybody want to venture? They won't. We won't do it. We're not going to do it. Right here is what it says. How often would I have gathered you as a hen gathered the chickens, and you would not? How often has Jesus come in our midst? Is there somebody here for whom he's endeavored to put his wing around? And no, I can do it myself. I don't need it. I'm fine. Or I don't need to go to church. Or I don't need to read those scriptures. I don't need to be praying. As much as maybe somebody says that I should. And says they wouldn't. Well, here's a little story. I hope you know this story. This is Joshua, who is the commander in general of the armies of Israel. And said that wherever the armies of Israel went, and Joshua took over the reins from Moses, wherever they went right here, they won every battle. They were victorious, and the fear of Israel was across the land. Oh no, Israel is coming. We are dead men. And they knew that. And they were. And wherever they went, they gained the victory. And sometimes I think the Lord gives us weakness. Just like Paul right here, he says, he gives us weakness right here that my grace will be sufficient for you. Sometimes he gives us weakness so that you can't get too big, more than what you think that you are. And so they went out there and they were fighting and winning all the battles, and they come up over a little rise there, and there down below them was a little town called Ai. They come down over that hill there and they looked at a little town, and the lieutenants come back to Joshua and says, we spied out the town, and the little town right here, there's not many of them right here, and we can overtake that. And I'll tell you what, just dispatch 2,000 or 3,000 men. Go on down there and wipe that, wipe that town out right here, because we don't all have to go there. We've been all fighting battles right here. Give the armies a rest right here. Let the little contingent go out there and do the work right here, and then come on back and we'll have some more post-hosties. And so they did that. And they went over the hill there, and they came into the little town of Ai, and the citizens of Ai jumped up and trounced them, defeated them miserably, humiliated them. And they came back. And they came back with the news, what can we say and what can we do? We have been defeated. And the news is going to go out that we are not invincible, that we can be defeated. And they defeated us, just a motley little crew of men of Ai right here. They beat us right here. What can we do? And Joshua fell on his face. God came to Joshua and says, get up off your face. What are you doing? And Joshua's asking him, he says, how is this? Why is this? What happened? I won't tell you what happened. You have permitted a cursed thing to come into the camp. You have permitted something that I despise and I hate to come in here. And I want to tell you that you can't stand, and you're not going to stand. You're not going to have victory. You're going to lose every succeeding battle. You are going to be a humiliation and a byword wherever you go. Israel will no longer be known or renowned because you've got an accursed thing. And until you've dealt with the accursed thing, you're going to forever be weak before your enemies. And there's only one thing that you can do, is you've got to get rid of it. You've got to get rid of the accursed thing. Well, what was the accursed thing? Well, the accursed thing was it a purely wicked man who thought of reprobate thoughts? Was it a terrible spiritual dark cloud and evil and it just pervades and it enters into the house? What is it? Well, it was a Babylonian garment. It was a few pieces of silver and gold. Those are just inanimate things. You know, what's so sinful about a few pieces of silver and gold? What's so bad about a Babylonian garment? What's bad is the people have departed from God and using that which is forbidden. Unless that thing is dealt with, you can't stand. Now, I'm convinced that God he's drawn out of the nations. He's gathering his children. Just like I said, that first slide right here, there is a division. And he's gathering the righteous, and he's going to put them in a safe spot. He's going to gather the wicked, and he's going to put them in their proper spot. And ultimately, he's going to destroy the wicked. Now, the wicked are those who have and will refuse to have Jesus as their king. Just like in the days of when Barabbas was refused, when Barabbas was released, we have no king but Caesar. Now, who am I talking to? Am I talking to the world, and hopefully the world hears this somehow? I'm talking about reality. And I'm convinced that in our midst are some accursed things. In the spirit of distraction and deception the devil has entered in, it's, some of you heard this story. This happened to me. There was a gal over here in Poor Town. And we met each other, and she said, well, you know, she said, I got a boyfriend. And he grabs me by the hair, and he drags me down the stairs. Boyfriend. And he beats me occasionally, and I'm afraid of him, and I don't know what to do. I said, I'll tell you what. I'm going to come over to your house, and I'm going to make your house like a fortress. And he won't come in. And I did that. I had my son and Luke Wiley, and we went over there, and boy, we put up rebar, and we put up expanded metal, and we put up 2x4s. I mean, it was King Kong couldn't get in there. So we had one day left. I had to button things up right here. Had one day left. And so I come over there and finishing up right here. And as I come in the house right here, as I come in the front door right here, there's some dude sitting on a couch. And I'm thinking, I hope this is not who I think it is. So I finished up my last work. As I finished up the last work right here, he says, man, he says, that's, ain't nobody can get into that. It was the boyfriend. In her house. Comfy. Invited. Permitted. Remain there. And somebody said, we were talking about that. We're praying to God. If you're a truth seeker, if you're intent on that relationship with God to improve, there's got to be some accursed things removed out of your life, out of my life. There's got to be something right here that is, I ask this question all the time. I walk down the street and I'll see some kid there. And he's got his hat on backwards. He's got his shirt all ripped open. He's got chains on him right here. He's got at 12 years old. He's got some tattoos. He's got some perforations with his girlfriend's got some perforations. Got that. He's got his britches down lower south than they ought to be. And he's acting tough right here. And I say, where does he get that? Who is giving him that? What person, what adult is sitting him down and saying, now this is what you do to be a man. This is how you be a woman right here. This is what you've got to do. What where are they getting that? I say that God can't gather us when we have desires that are being fed and fueled by the enemy every day. I was in Sears yesterday with my grandson. And they said, we're going to change your tire right here, Mr. Sheldon. We're going to change your tire right here, and you just stand right over there, and we'll be to you. We'll be done with it in a half hour. I said, okay. So we stood over there, and there was the devil's eyeball. There is the devil's eyeball standing there. And I looked at the devil's eyeball, and I was convinced and confirmed that indeed is the devil's eyeball. I just come in, looked, wickedness to the max. And do you think anybody is picking that up? Do you think there's any influence? Do you think there's anything? Do you think if the devil comes into your house, do you think if the devil walks in there, do you think that it's okay as long as he don't rattle your china and he doesn't kick over a table and as long as he don't make too much noise and make ugly faces and scare you right here, that it's all right? My dad, several years ago, I noticed this, that he was giving away a bunch of stuff. Randy, can you take, you got a need for this chair? Can you use that? Can you use this table? What about this right here? Go upstairs. There's some suitcases up there. Can you have any need for that? The unloading time in preparation for the real time. Preparation for the real gathering up in heaven. Unloading, unburdening oneself for that monumental time, which the Lord has marked on a calendar for every one of us. Well, here's another story. In this story is the Battle of Jehoshaphat. And Jehoshaphat is the king, and he's got the children of Israel. And the word comes to him. And you can imagine, I can see the courier coming in, and he's trembling, and he's shaking, and he can't hardly get it out, and he's trembling right here, and he's gasping right here, and all he can get out is, the enemy is coming. The enemy is coming. They're on their way. Innumerable like the sands of the sea. They're coming. They're coming to destroy Israel. Well, what did Jehoshaphat do? Jehoshaphat fell on his face. Jehoshaphat proclaimed a fast. Jehoshaphat knew that without the provision of God right here, that they would be destroyed. And so they met together in the house, gathered. They were gathered together. Now, you know, I see that happening someday in our future. I feel this. That there's going to be, and I hope, I heed the call. I'm convinced there's a time coming. Gather together. The enemy is coming. I'm not prepared to tell you where. My mind said, well, maybe here, you know, but it may not be here. We had a sister down there in Honduras, and she had a dream, and in this dream, fire was coming. And they were going to the place where they were going to gather together. And she had her boyfriend with her, and she had her mother with her. And her mother was saying, maybe I'm going to get a job in town right here. You need to come with me right here and help me get this job right here. I want you, my daughter, to come with me. And my wife says, no, I'm not. I'm going to the meeting place. Maybe I want you to come with me. It's necessary. I really want this job. Mom, how can I tell you? How can I say it big enough? I'm not going with you. I'm not going. I'm going to the meeting place. And a mother disappeared in her dream. Well, her boyfriend's there, and he's got him a brand new motorcycle. He's riding his motorcycle, you know, and he said, Mighty, look at my motorcycle right here. She says, Fernando, what good is a motorcycle in this time? What good? Where are you? How many parents have said that? That reminds me of the Garden of Eden. In the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve had already ate the fruit, and they already committed a sin, and they're hiding out. And God, Jesus, who it was, came through the cool of the day there, and he asked this question. Where are you? Adam and Eve, where are you? Well, I've had God ask me that question before. Randy, where are you? Where are you in the level of preparation that is necessary in this hastening time? When time, with all that we have and all that we know, built upon $20 trillion, all that we have had right here may suddenly come down. Well, the Bible says that it will suddenly come down. Within an hour, it's going to come down. Where are we? I think we need to ask ourselves the question. I want to ask the question. If I had my house, say you were coming to visit my house, and you came in my house and you said, Randy, you said, can I have a cold drink of water right here? I said, yeah, help yourself in the fridge. And you open up the fridge right here, and there's a six-pack of Bud in there. What would you think? What if you come over to my house, and in my house, you saw some pretty racy magazines there, laying down there? What would you say? What would you think? What if in my house, you knew my neighbor right here, that guy's an adulterer? And you come in on us, and me and the adulterer and the fornicator, we're just talking right here, you know. What would you think? What if in my house, you know, when you come in and you heard me talking to my buddies or something like that, and boy, we were talking foolish, jesting, silliness, vanity, foolishness in every way. What would you think? Well, Kurt Yates' daddy, some of you heard this before, but I heard it and I'll never get rid of it. Your dad said, in my house, there's no wild women. In my house, there's no tall drinking. In my house, there's no wicked behavior. In my house, there is not those things that the world loves and espouses and is front of us every day. None of that is in my house. Except when I turn on the TV. It's an inanimate object. That's just an electronic box. That's just something right here that you can turn that off and turn that on, and you can control that, and you're the Lord of that box. And I don't believe that. I believe that box is the Lord of those who indulge himself in it. I'm not wanting to sound condemnatory, but I'm saying the Lord is gathering. I was in Jamesport. And I asked a whole lot of questions, and I was asking every silly question in the world. And I said, after I'd done asking a bunch of questions, I said, well, let me ask you, do you have a TV? We don't have any TVs, however they talk. We don't believe in TVs. We would not have a TV. We would be ashamed to have that in our house. We're living in a world, as the Bible says, they're going to call black, white, white, black. We're living in a world that is espousing and neutralizes the danger. Somebody was talking about, I don't want to get political. Somebody was talking about somebody, and oftentimes people who are in the highest control of influence, you don't always know what they're doing. But the Lord knows. And the Lord is going to gather his children out. And so back to this battle of Jehoshaphat. So Jehoshaphat, he said he sought the Lord. And he sought the Lord and he gathered themselves together. And so hear this, just like the Lord is gathering his children right here, he gathered them together. And as he gathered them together, what would you suspect, based on your understanding of the revealed will of God, what would you expect to happen in a congregation of people who are mightily pulled together, united arm in arm? What would you expect? Do you think the Lord could speak? You think the Lord would talk? Yeah. I'm absolutely convinced the Lord, when he comes in there, he is going to reveal the will of God, no matter how it may be. It may be a vision, it may be a dream, it may be a song, it may be somebody stands up, maybe a little child like Brother Hausnick says, who prophesied. But here it is. And Jehoshaphat, they met together. As they're meeting together right here, the word of the Lord came into the congregation. I'm ready to hear the word of the Lord. I want to set myself to hear the word of the Lord. I want to vacate from me everything that can send me to hell. My brother Marvin Carroll, we just talked about it. He told me years ago, he said, Randy, maybe I was doing it. I can't remember who he was talking to right here. He said, but don't you know that can send you to hell? Don't you know that there is a plan of the devil? And the plan of the devil, his plan is just not to put some cobblestones in your path. The will of the devil is not just to make you a little confused sometime. The will of the devil, the Bible says, He is an enemy from the beginning. He is a liar and a murderer from the beginning. And they set themselves to seek the Lord, and they gather themselves together to ask help of the Lord. And did the Lord hear that cry? He heard that cry. He said, what I'm going to have you do, I want you to get up with your psalteries, get all the musicians together, get together right here and go down to where the enemy is going to meet you, and go down there and you meet them with your psalteries and your songs and your hymns and your praises. And this day I'll fight your battle for you. And they came down there singing and praising the Lord. And they came down there, and when they came down low, there was dead bodies. They were all dead men. Psalms here is saying basically what I want to say. And unless we know it right here, we have a host that is surrounding us. I'm expecting someday, and I've told others this, I'm expecting someday that we're going to be here at the temple lot, and I'm expecting there's going to be a column of people marching around the temple lot here. I'm expecting that. I'm expecting someday that each one of us are going to face some great struggles against our faith. But my heart shall not fear. You know, Eva, you're one of them. This gal right here, we go back a long ways. But I've seen in her, I've seen danger there, and that woman just stands there and just looks at it. I'm not afraid of you. And that's the kind of fearlessness that God's looking for in his children. We're not filled with fear, and I'm sorry right here if I've said some fearful things right here. It's just, I want to be real. I don't want to ignore. Jesus says to watch, to pray always, that you may be counted worthy to escape these things coming to pass. He wants us to be praying and committing ourselves to the Lord. I have envisioned this. They had up there at the camp, they had the rod of iron, which was a rope. You held on that rope and you turned loose of that rope. You know, and they said, well, I'm sorry, you turned loose of the rope right here, you didn't make it. And a bunch of them didn't make it. But I have envisioned right here that Jesus is up high on a mountaintop. And he throws down a rope. And he throws down that rope there, and here it comes down right here, and I catch that rope. He says, I'm going to pull you up. So as he's pulling me up, I'm holding, am I holding tight? I'm holding real tight. And I'm holding on that, but say I get distracted. Say I don't think I have to hold this tight. Can I let loose of that rope? I can't let loose of it. Now the devil is convinced. He's trying to convince us to turn loose of the rope. We had one of the smartest gals I know of. She went on that rope up there at youth camp. And she went along that rope, and of course she didn't know it. She was blindfolded. And so she went on that rope there, and there was a nice smiling young man that was standing there and says, sister, now remember, you can't turn loose of the rope. They were told that. Don't turn loose of the rope. Says, sister, you're nice and spiffed up right there. It says, this is kind of it goes around a big tree here, and there's some poison ivy and so forth. So just give me your hand right here, and I'll get you over here to the other end of the rope. She says, really? Oh, yeah, you bet. You need to be careful. Oh, okay. She turned loose of it, and what did she hear? You turn loose of the rope. And that's what I believe right here, is that we're holding on tight. And if we've seen this, if we've seen all the, on our prayer services, we heard testimonies this morning as we were gathered together. We heard testimonies of those right here who talked about faith. And talked about, I mean, real powerful, the effect of faith Because we believe in the God of heaven right here who has promised us these things. And so if we got that kind of faith and if we got that conviction right here, we know hard times are coming, but we're not going to fear. And what does it say here? David says this. He says, I desire the Lord, that will I seek after. In this separation, in this gathering right here, you're going to have the gatherers, those that are gathered right here, and those that are gathered are the people who didn't do much seeking. They didn't have much on their mind about the Lord. Can you imagine living a day, 2 days, 3 days, a week? And I've asked this question. Did you pray? Well, let's see. Well, I think I did last week. Well, did you read the scriptures today? Yesterday? You're going to read them tomorrow? Well, I'm a busy man. Jesus has, he gives a story about the man who was a rich man who was going to throw a dinner. Now, what we're seeing is the mind of Jesus. I'm going to throw a dinner for my children, for my family, for those that love me. I'm going to throw this dinner. He says, go out and persuade all of my friends to come to the dinner. The dinner is set, and we're ready to sit down. So they go out there, and they visit with all those that were beckoned to the dinner, and what did they say? I've got to prove a team of oxen right here. Please forgive me for not coming for your dinner. I'm getting married tomorrow right here. You know, I'm busy. One after another, the excuses. Was he happy about that? Now, this is Jesus saying this. No, he was upset about it. And he says, away with all of you. And he told them, he says, go out in the highways and byways and bring them in. Gather them in. So he gathered them in, and as he got them all gathered together there, he was going in saying howdy in my way of thinking. He's going saying howdy and thanking everybody for coming to the dinner and the water, having a good time. And he meets a guy right there who doesn't have the wedding garments on. Am I mixing two stories here? Doesn't matter. He looks at this man and he says, sir, he says, you came right here to the wedding and you don't have the wedding garments on. And the man was speechless. Well, as he gathers us together, he wants to see in all of us the wedding garments. Do we have the wedding garments on? Or are we trying to get them? Or are we up and down on the scrub board? Are we doing laundry? Are we looking things over? You know, what is the best that I can get? And what can I wear at the wedding? But he says right here in that 27th, in the fourth verse, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. I'm going to inquire in the temple. And he shall hide me in his pavilion and set me upon a rock. That's where we want to be. One last little story. Some of you have heard it, but when my daughter Tabitha was just real little, we was in Greenwood, Colorado. And I got up real early in the morning, and there was a mountain right up outside of our little cabin there, and boy, I wanted to get to the top of that mountain. And I got up real early right there at daybreak, and I was heading out, and my little daughter Tabitha, about 2.5, 3 years old, She says, Papa, where are you going? I said, I'm going to go to the top of that mountain. She says, can I go with you? Yeah. So we start going up that mountain, and as we're going up that mountain, we're going through the big pine trees, and we're going through the big pine trees there, the big gigantic rocks. The whole mountainside was gigantic boulders right here. And the only way to climb the mountain is you had to climb up on top of a boulder. And then you face the next boulder, and you got to climb up the next one. And so I had her. And so what I'd have to do is I'd lift her up on this boulder there, and then I'd climb up and get her, and then I'd have to lift her up on another one. Pretty frightful for a little kid like that. And then we got up in there, and then we got above tree line, and we're going up the mountain right here. There was no trees, but it was a boulder field. Rough walking, but we could do it. And we're going up through there. The wind started blowing hard. It blew so hard that she started crying. And she said, "Papa, I'm scared." And just when the wind was blowing, right there was a cleft in the rock. I said, "Tabby, let's get into the cleft of the rock." We got in the cleft of the rock there, and I held her. Wind was blowing outside there, but we were safe in the pavilion of God. And we're safe. After we were there for some time, I told her, I said, "Tabitha, she would go to the top. We're almost there." She says, "I'm ready." I took her, and we got to the top, and the wind was blowing. I'll never forget what she saw. "Papa, we made it." This is our journey. It's our journey where we're unloading. Our journey where we're looking in the mirror. We're making an examination. It's got to be right to the core of who we are. What is it? What may it be that separates me from you? I want all that I can get from the kingdom. I want your blessings. I want your grace. I want your providence. I want your defense. I want your leadership. I want you to be my God. What is it that I lack? And he'll tell you. And he's told me. I know we're not perfect, and I know that we've all, and I don't want to leave that impression right here that I'm anybody. I'm nobody because I'm a sinner just like anybody else. But I'm aware, and I know what the job ahead is, and I'm working on that. And I'm praying that the Lord, as he gathers his children, we're getting tighter together. We're getting closer together. That when he calls us and when we're passing through life right here, and he's saying, "Randy," he says, "I want you to come my way." He's gathering me. Don't go over there. Or come this way. This is better. This is a better way. This is a better path. In church service, I want to be here every service. My mother used to say that. She says that I'm not going to miss a service right here because that may be the service that the Lord's going to speak. That may be the service for which the word goes out. This is what I want you to do right then, there, now. Go. I want to be here in the services. We got a sister down in Florida right here. She's a shut-in, but she attends 5 services every Sunday. And she had the phone church, and she's got the Bradley church, and she's got the Temple Light church, she's got the Phoenix church, and there's some other thing that she hears. And she's in church all day long. God's gathered that. Gathered that. Come here, sister. Even I've gathered you a gathering of one. Let's worship together. As he gathers us right here, I'm suspecting that someday, in that future day of trial, the Bible says the worst time no man has ever seen. That when we get into that, and we're getting closer to that, that we're leaning on each other as brothers and sisters. We're leaning on the Lord. We're looking to him for our defense and our direction. We're expecting it. We believe in that. We have faith in it. That is our faith, that our God is strong enough, that our God will see us through, our God will save us. God bless you.